When is the last time you forgot something very important? I'm not going to ask you to confess. When's the last time you forgot to mail a check? To pay a bill? Forgot to show up for an important meeting? When's the last time you forgot to turn in a report if you're in school? To be kind? When's the last time you forgot the answer to a test question? When's the last time you forgot an anniversary? If you did, it was probably the last time. We all forget things at one time or the other, and as my life goes on, I find I forget things more than once or another. But some things are more important to remember than others. Some things not that important, some things very important. Very shortly, we're going to be keeping an anniversary of the most important anniversary, which is the Passover, the anniversary of our Lord's death and sacrifice given for us. What's involved in remembering an anniversary? Those of you who are married, you may think on this. If you have an anniversary, is it just that, okay, we have an anniversary here, you go away for a year, and then you come back because it's time for your other anniversary? That's kind of like people do with Easter and Christmas, you know, they have their dates that they feel are important, and they'll go the rest of their lives, but they got to show up at Easter, you know, because it's special. But forget things the rest of the time. With an anniversary, do you then focus your attention on other women for the year, and then maybe come back to that anniversary and give a little more attention to the wife? Not a good idea. With an anniversary, you need to consider what the other person wants. If you make great plans for an anniversary and it's something that your mate cares nothing about, then you haven't shown honor or respect to that individual. We're going to be keeping the night to be much observed, also called the night to be much remembered. God, knowing our tendency to forget, has given us specific things that he tells us, I want you to remember. And generally, with religion in general, those are the things that people decide they can forget, or they don't care anything about remembering. But God's given us reminders in the Bible of the most important things he wants us to remember. I call them spiritual sticky notes. If you want a title, you can label this sermon, Spiritual Sticky Notes. Psalm chapter 50, let's not turn there, but I'll just read it briefly. But Psalm 50 and verse 22, we need to know that forgetting, just like with an anniversary, can be hazardous to your health. And even so much the more so when we forget things of God. Psalm 50 and verse 22 says, now consider this, you that forget God. He says, if you forget me, if you forget the things I say to remember, he says, consider this, you that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Just like a husband who forgets an anniversary and his wife tears him to pieces. Worse than that, God cares very much about the things he says to remember. He cares that we remember. I'll give you another reference, Jeremiah 18. Combining verses 15 and 17, Jeremiah 18, 15 and 17, he says, because my people have forgotten me. There's going to be a result if we forget God. He says in verse 17, I will scatter them and show them my back and not my face. As you forget me, you turn and go another direction, you've turned your back on me and I will give you my back and not my face. Go ahead and turn to Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. It's one that we quote the first part of somewhat often. Hosea 4 and verse 6. Hosea, Joel, Amos, right after Daniel. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. Again, he cares about these things. That you won't be no priest to me. Seeing you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. You want a blessing from me? You want your family and your children to be blessed? You remember me. Remember my ways. What are some of the things in the Bible that God wants us to remember? What are some things that come to your mind? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. How many people are in Albuquerque today remembering the Sabbath? There are some few scattered peoples, but most people, even that are religious, don't remember that day. What else does God want us to remember? Yes. Remember the commandments, my 10 commandments, specifically wants us to remember. Remember Lot's wife and the lessons with it. It's not just, oh yeah, Lot had a wife, but it's turning your back, going the other way, going back into Egypt, if you will, back into sin. What else? You don't remember all the things? Yes. Remember the Creator in the days of your youth, indeed. Okay. There are a lot of things God says to remember. I want to cover some of them today and refresh our memory, and you obviously remember a lot of it because you're here. And I'm not going to cover every single instance that he says to remember, but at this time of year in particular, he repeats it time and time again. It's almost like my wife having to remind me to do stuff. Repeated many times because I forget. Exodus chapter 13 verse 3. Exodus 13 and verse 3. And this, of course, is not just something about, oh yeah, I remember that. But the remembering is something that is like remembering an anniversary. You remember it because you want to dedicate yourself to that individual and to celebrate the relationship and renew that commitment to one another. Exodus 13 and verse 3, and Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place, and there shall no leavened bread be eaten. I'll talk more about that on the first day of unleavened bread, on some of the lessons that we can learn from this. But we just had a review in the sermonette of what it was he wanted us to remember. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 14. Exodus 12 and verse 14. He says, you are always to remember this day and celebrate it with a feast to your Lord. That's my phone. Sorry about that. I would make me leave, but I can't. Just, I thought I turned that off, but I guess not. It'll go away in a second by the time you find it. Okay, let it go. I'm not answering it. I only answer the phone room in the bathroom. Doesn't that one drive you crazy? Hello? Anyway. He says, you're always to remember this day and celebrate it with a feast to your Lord. Your descendants are to honor the Lord with this feast from now on. So it's not just, hey, that was a nice thing, but we're to teach it to our children. Our children are to understand what it's about and why we do these things. It says verse 15, for this feast you must eat bread made without yeast for 7 days. Exodus 12 and verse 24, this is the New Living Translation, and it repeats this a little more strongly. It says, remember, these instructions are a permanent law that you and your descendants must observe forever. It's not just a nice thing to do, and you know, maybe you watch the Ten Commandments once in a while when it comes on TV. But it's to be internalized into our minds and hearts. Verse 25, when you enter the land the Lord has promised to give you, you will continue to observe this ceremony. Then your children will ask, what does this ceremony mean? When I was here 2 weeks ago, we were eating dinner after services, and Blake was saying, so what does this service mean? It was almost like he had read it out of the Bible. But what is the night to be much observed all about? So when their children ask, and you will reply, it's a Passover sacrifice to the Lord. He passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt, and he struck the Egyptians and spared our families. Brandy told me that Blake said a little bit ago that he didn't want to be sacrificed, but you don't have to be if we remember these days and what it's about. Yeah, this is the point, right? Verse 42. It's a night to be much observed, or elsewhere stated, remembered, unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. And on this night, the Lord to be observed for all the children of Israel and their generations, just like we are to remember being called out of the world. Whether you grew up in the church and just understood it, or whether you were somewhere else and God opened your mind and brought you into the truth and the knowledge and understanding. Never forget that. We all know people who have forgotten that. That it's like it never happened. And now they're back doing customs of the world and literally forgetting what God says, don't forget. And if you do forget what he says, to remember, then you will go back into the ways that you've been called out of. So we're to remember being called out of the world, the shed blood of Christ for our sins. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 3 in the New Living Translation. So Moses said to the people, this is a day to remember forever. The day you left Egypt, the place of your slavery. Today the Lord has brought you out by the power of his mighty hand. Remember, don't eat food containing yeast. Verse 8. On the seventh day, you must explain to your children, I'm celebrating what the Lord did for me when I left Egypt. Verse 9. This annual festival will be a visible sign to you, like a mark branded on your hand or forehead, let it remind you always to recite this teaching of the Lord. For the strong hand the Lord rescued you from Egypt, observe the decree of this festival at the appointed time each year. There's no question. This is one that he wants us to remember and to discuss and to see the meaning of it, why it applies to us, not just to them. It's all about that. Deuteronomy chapter 5 through 9. Just in Deuteronomy 5 through 9, chapters 5 through 9, there are 10 references to remembering. Deuteronomy 5, remember, begins with the Ten Commandments. Somebody said, what do you want me to remember? The Ten Commandments. There are 10 references here. In the book of Deuteronomy, there are 128 references to remembering. God says it that much, it should mean a lot. I'm sorry, 28, not 128. Little exaggeration there. Discusses it 28 times. It says remember. Spiritual sticky notes. You know, he puts up there and we look at it. We say, oh yeah, I've got to do that. I can't forget. It's very important. Now, maybe you may be into iPads and phones and all that type of thing, like Julie had with the address of Juan Thibault there, but there are ways to remember. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 1. Moses called all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them." There again, it's not just a, oh yeah, you did that. But it's a being careful to observe it. It's a being careful to follow through and to do as it says, get the meaning of it, and make it a part of our lives. Verse 6, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Verse 15, "And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. The Lord your God brought you out there by a mighty hand, an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." Even the Sabbath is to be a weekly reminder of being called out and given rest. So many times he talks about coming out of, Hebrews expounds on it, but he says he called them out of Egypt into rest, the promised land. And he calls us into rest. And so each week is a sticky note that says, remember, you were called out. This is your life. Never forget, as so many again have done. In chapter 6, verse 12, he says, "Beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Verses 20 through 25, he again directs the people to rehearse the story of Israel coming out of Egypt. It's like the sermonette did and went through and gave the Passover and the killing of the lamb and leaving Egypt. He says, don't forget those things. Verse 25 of Deuteronomy. "For we will be counted as righteous when we obey all the commands the Lord has given us." Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go into the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers." Verse 2, "And you shall remember." Again, another one of those reminders. "Remember, the Lord led you all the way these 40 years into the wilderness to humble you and test you." The remembering, again, isn't just about the incident. It's about the why, about the circumstances surrounding it, about the meaning of it, the symbolism of it. Sometimes when we go through our tests, our kind of wandering in this wilderness until Christ returns, and we go through our trials and we forget, oh yeah, God allows things to humble and test us, to know what's in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. I think a lot of the things that have happened over the last year with the church here was to humble us and test us and see what's in our heart. What's really important to us is what's important to God important to us, is what's important to Jesus Christ what's important to us. Or do we do what's important to us and not remember these principles, these commandments? Remember what Jesus Christ did for us in bringing us out of the world. And he said he wants to know what's in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And it's not just about keeping the rote commandments in the letter of the law. He wants to know what's in our heart with keeping them, whether we really understand the true intent of murder, the true intent of adultery, the true intent of all of the laws. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11. When we end up tested in various ways, we oftentimes tend to forget that God is wanting to humble us and to test us. And we think, oh, God's abandoned me. No, he hasn't. He's brought you into this way of life with the purpose of seeing what's in our heart. So you're going to get the tests. You're going to get the trials. Because he cares for you enough that he wants you to understand. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments. If you don't keep the commandments, you will be forgetting God. There is no doing away with the commandments. The word God and commandments and love are all the same thing, especially when blended together. You start separating them and not blending it all together to know that the commandments are God's character. It's how we treat each other and how we live, and then the intent of the commandments of love. That's my topic for the last day of Unleavened Bread is love and the Ten Commandments. They are inseparable. And God is love. But he said, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, because you're not understanding what his mind is. If you don't keep the commandments, you've forgotten God. You've forgotten who he is and what he's all about. And what our relationships are, who Jesus Christ was, and why he did what he did. And how he lived. And his judgments and statutes that I command you today, verse 16, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, that he might humble you, and he might test you to do you good to the end. And the things that he asks us to remember are for our good. And there'll be testing. There'll be things that have the potential to humble us. Problem is, oftentimes we don't take that potential, do we? Things come up that could humble us. It could put us in perspective with how God wants us to think, how he wants us to act and to react and to treat one another. But we just blow them off and do it with human nature instead. Now, he does it to humble us and test us, to do us good in the end. Verse 17, and you say in your heart, the power and might of my hand have gained me this wealth. When we go through various things, it gives us an opportunity to trust ourselves or to trust God. To realize that he is the one that brought us out of the world and he gives us strength and the power to do things. Or it's me. I'm pretty good. God needs me. He's testing us, and he will, and he has. Verse 18, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. You know, even with the scripture and understanding the truth, we oftentimes get to studying and looking in and into the Word of God, and we get to thinking, well, God has shown me this, you know, and I'm pretty good, and people need to know what I know, and instead of just being humble about it and realizing by God's mercy he opened your mind. And we get to thinking that we are some great spiritual giants instead of just having the mercy of Jesus Christ and his Spirit living in us. Remember the shed blood of Christ. Remember his mercy delivers us, not our ability to make unleavened bread. Spiritually, it's not our ability to put sin out that impresses God. You know, we think, well, I can make a good piece of unleavened bread. You know, I can get rid of sin. You know, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty righteous. It is God's righteousness in us that allows us to do any of this. He said, remember that. What are some other things he wants us to remember? One of the things he wants us to remember is our special calling. I mean, just how special the calling is. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And verse 7, Deuteronomy 32, verse 7. He says, remember the days of long ago. Think about the generations past. Ask your father, and he will inform you. Inquire of your elders, and they will tell you. If you've been raised with a good understanding, you go back into church history and you learn lessons and from the good things and the bad things done. And keep those things always with you. Don't ever let them depart. God has given us a special calling. Those of us that are second or third generations, I guess there are fourths around here. It's a special blessing, a special calling. Never forget that. Don't forget the lessons of past generations. Discuss those things. As we go back into, we've got a variety of church history here, and some of the things that people did in forgetting God, or His laws, or His ways, and the things people did to remember them. We go back and sometimes talk about, some of you talk about, well, we used to drive for, 6 hours one way to church, every Sabbath. And we'd stop to pick up widow so-and-so and bring her to church with us. And I got those stories, and my wife's got a bunch of them coming from Kansas and out in the middle of nowhere and driving to, from Kansas out to Colorado for the holy days and driving to Big Sandy for the feast and all the distances people would travel. Those are good things to remember about dedication, because we tend to complain about, our place is too small, or we don't have, we do have flowers here. We cut our flower budget in Phoenix, because our income has dropped substantially for the church there. And people, why can't we have flowers for church? Well, some people like meet in a hut, and the flowers are grown out of the floor, But be thankful for what we've been given and remember those lessons that are there. 2 Peter chapter 1, it was Peter writes this. This is, it just sounds like a spiritual version of Passover and unleavened bread lessons. Where we read that you tell your children that you were brought out of Egypt. You tell your children about this and that. Here, this sounds like Moses talking, but it's Peter talking about the spiritual lessons. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness, through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness, who brought Israel out of Egypt. It was God that brought them out. It was His goodness. It was His power. And he's saying it's the same with our spiritual calling. With God opening our minds is a greater miracle than opening the sea. Incredible miracle in opening the sea, but to open a person's mind. If you've tried to convince somebody, just remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and they're a strong Baptist, you're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to be able to open that mind with a hatchet. Only God can open that mind, and it's His power and it's His glory that enabled us to do these things. Verse 4. Through these, He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through Him you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Israel was brought out of Egypt. He brings us out of the corruption of the world. Verse 9, but if anyone does not have these godly qualities he's talking about, it says he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten he has been cleansed from his past sins. People go on and forget the beautiful and the magnificent calling we've been given. He says, don't forget. just like Deuteronomy so oftentimes reminded them, don't forget, like Exodus 12 and 13 says, don't forget. Verse 10, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never fall. You'll receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God called Israel out of Egypt to bring them into the promised land, which they got sidetracked because they rejected him. But he brings us out of the world to bring us into his kingdom. Verse 12, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. And so Peter says, look, I'm reminding you because I'm told to remind you. He says, never for, God says, never forget. And so we're saying something today that there's probably no one in here that hasn't heard these things before. Peter was saying the same thing. This is a reminder. It's a spiritual sticky note about the value of our calling, about the promises God has given to us, and the blessing of calling us out of the world. So verse 12 again, I'll always remind you of these things, even though you know them and you are firmly established in the truth you now have. I don't think you're sitting here because somebody dragged you here. You're sitting here because you believe this is what you should do. And I know you're firmly rooted. And you keep that up. Never forget, as some have. Verse 13, I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. And Peter says, I'm going to give you those spiritual sticky notes and keep reminding you and keep pounding it home because we must remember. We must never forget. God's calling of the Egypt out of Israel, our calling out of the world. Another thing he wants us to remember is that he keeps his promises and he will bring salvation. I talked to the gentleman not too long ago. He says, I might as well just give up. You know, things are too tough. And you know, nobody loves me. And he had one reason or the other why he should just give up. I think he's maybe being overly dramatic about it. I don't think he meant it in his heart. But that's what he was doing. And if he does, he'd be forgetting that God keeps his promises. Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46. The New Century Version, Isaiah 46, verse 8, starts off and says, remember this and do not forget it. God's got a lot of things. He said, I want you to remember this. Spiritual sticky note. Think about these things, you who turn against God. Remember what happened long ago. Remember that I am God and there is no other God. I am God, and there's no one like me. Verse 10, from the beginning, I told you what would happen in the end. You got the prophecies. Mr. Armstrong quoted, and I think we like to quote that one. He says, I read the end of the book, and we win. Well, that's it. He said, we read the book, and it says, if you're faithful to God, we win. Because he brings us to salvation. And when we tend to forget that, and that God is powerful, now we don't see him. We see the evidence of him, and we see him in our hearts and minds with God's Spirit. Verse 10, from the beginning I told you what would happen in the end. A long time ago I told you things that have not yet happened. When I plan something, it happens. What I want to do, I will do. I will soon do things that are right. I'll bring salvation soon. I will save Jerusalem and bring glory to Israel. We look forward to all these things. And, you know, it seems like every week something new comes up and says, boy, we sure need the kingdom. Things happening in the Mideast, we sure need the kingdom. We look at the financial state of this country and the world. We say, we sure need the kingdom. We look at the abuses that go on with our children and this and all around because of perversions. We say we sure need the kingdom. And God promises the kingdom, but it's not here yet. You go back to the children of Israel and he said, I'm going to bring you out of this land of Egypt. And then we get all these plagues, and a lot of them affected the Israelites. The first part of them did. And so when's this going to happen? No, it didn't. Pharaoh changed his mind. And then it got bad again. Say, when's this going to happen? Didn't happen. By the time it got to the 10th plague, there are probably some that said, this isn't going to happen. You know? And there are probably some that said, I'm not going to my doorpost all full of blood. Ridiculous. We're just going to be here. They probably lost their kids. He says, what I say will happen, will happen. And I've been talking about the kingdom of God since I was, well, it's been almost 51 years now. When I was just a kid, when my parents taught me, I read out of the Bible things that would happen. They're still going to happen. It's been 50 years and it hasn't. Well, God says that it will happen. And you don't really have to worry about that. Verse 13. I will soon do the things that are right. I will bring salvation soon. Save Jerusalem and bring glory to Israel. It will happen. He tells us not to forget his benefits. Psalm 103, it says, don't forget all of his benefits. Sometimes we think about just some of the bad stuff that happens, or that we didn't get this, we didn't get that. We forget some of his benefits. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. In verse 8, it says, and what great nation has decrees and regulations as righteous and fair as this body of instructions I'm giving you today? You know, with the knowledge that God has given you of his truth and a way of life that actually does when we follow it. It brings peace, peace of mind, happiness. Verse 9, he says, but watch out. Be careful never to forget what you have seen. Do not let these memories escape your mind as long as you live. And be sure to pass them on to your children and to your grandchildren. Verse 10, never forget the day when you stood before the Lord your God at Mount Sinai, where he told me, summon the people before me. I will personally instruct them, and they will learn to fear me as long as they live, and they will teach their children to fear also. He says he's given us these blessings, this call, being called out of the world, and knowledge and understanding. Never forget his benefits and his commandments. Something else he says don't forget is that trials are inevitable. Touched on that a little bit, but John chapter 15, John chapter 15, I know Satan wants to put into the mind, well, you know, if we were really pleasing God and if we were the church, then we wouldn't have all these problems. Well, where'd you ever read that? I never read it in Scripture that said that if you do everything exactly right, and if you follow me in every way, you'll never have problems. Never read it. Well, it says there are blessings and benefits that come that we remember. But, along with that, John 15 and verse 18 at Passover, he said, if the world hates you, remember, it hated me first. That's what I say sometime when, you know, when people are having a hard time at work and the boss is going to fire them or whatever because they want to keep the Sabbath. So you're in good company. They killed Christ for what he believed. So, are you better than Christ? Well, if they killed him, well, certainly they'll do less to us. But it says, verse 19, if you belong to the world, it would love you as it loves its own. But I have chosen you out of the world, so you don't belong to it, and that's why the world hates you. And he says, verse 20, as he's telling them these things on this Passover evening. He says, remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If people did wrong to me, they'll do wrong to you too. And again, we intend to forget that sometime and say, oh, why is God persecuting me? Or why is God allowing this? Or, you know, God has forsaken me. Now he says, you remember, it happened to me, it'll happen to you. And so, kind of get used to it and work through it and learn the lessons of humility and faithfulness and trust in God. John chapter 16. It's a New Century Version in John 16 and verse 1. New Century Version says, I have told you these things to keep you from giving up. We tend to forget the things at Passover that he told us. These things were told on that Passover evening that we rehearse on this anniversary. And the things he said, I've told you to keep you from giving up. Verse 2, people will put you out of their synagogues. Yes, the time's coming that those who kill you will think they're offering God a service. Verse 3, they'll do this because they haven't known the Father. They haven't known me. Verse 4, I've told you these things now so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. Okay, so these are the things he says, don't forget it. Because when it comes up, it'll see you through. And know that it's a time of testing, a time of trial, and it'll be all right. I keep my promises. He'll see you through. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. And as these people were going through certain trials and certain tests and complaining about it and thinking God had abandoned them, and he says then, after Christ said, you remember, I warned you these things. Hebrews 12 verse 5, today's English version says, have you forgotten the encouraging words which God speaks to you as his sons? My son, pay attention when the Lord corrects you, and do not be discouraged when he rebukes you, because the Lord corrects everyone he loves and punishes everyone he accepts as a son. He will set us back on track when we start to get off, if we love him, because he loves us. If we're following his way, and we can expect it and be thankful for it. I tell you, I've said before, I've spent many hours in this last year in tears over the things that have occurred even in the church. And they have been corrections. They need to be a correction for each one of us. You know, and I've prayed that for all of those that have left our midst from United and United and everyone for this Passover to learn these lessons that he wants us to learn. They're corrections if we'll allow it to be. And it's up to us to remember, he's going to give us these corrections, but we better learn these lessons and not forget his law, his law of love. And I'll give a final one, although there are some more, but Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, at Passover, Christ took off his coat and got down on his knees and washed their feet, and he said, if I've done this to you, you do this to one another. It's one of the things he says, remember on this anniversary. And here it's rehearsed, Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, New Living Translation. He says, I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Think of others as higher than yourself. Jesus got down and he washed the disciples' feet. He put their needs ahead of his own what could have been pride, vanity, things that he didn't have. Thinking of others, doing for others. And he says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. And in our giving, in our serving, this is all part of what he wants us to know, to learn, and to remember. So as Passover approaches, night to be much remembered comes upon us. These days of unleavened bread, let's remember God has a very, very wonderful, merciful plan for us all, and remember our calling and respond to God.